This morning's reading is from Psalm 1, page 840 in the Blue Bibles. Psalm 1, 840 to 841. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is God's word.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to actually, I'm going to invite now S.J. Park, to Reverend S.J. Park to come up. And he's going to share with us the Word of God. Now, S.J. is actually from Mossman Presbyterian Church. He's the associate pastor there together with Reverend Brett Graham, who is our interim moderator. So he'll be assisting Reverend Graham with looking after our church until we find a senior pastor. So we're really, really privileged to have him here. And he'll be speaking to us regularly once a month. Please welcome SJ to the pulpit as he comes to share the Word of God.
Do I lift this mic like this? Oh. Okay. You, and then everything is quite delightful at this church. So thank you very much. Like, my name is SJ, and it stands for my Korean name is Sangjin. So you can either call me Sangjin or SJ, it's up to you. I'm happy for both of them. And it is a great privilege to study the Word of God with you this morning. And as we come to study the God's words, let us ask our living God for his help to understand it and also to be changed by it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather here to study your Word. As we study your Word, help us by your Holy Spirit to understand it and help us to receive it with faith and love so that we may be changed and also strengthened by it. As I'm teaching your word, Lord, help me to be clear. Help me to be bold. Help me to be faithful and true to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last month, my friend had a wedding at our church in Mossman. It was a beautiful wedding. Many people came along to support and celebrate my friend's wedding. It was a beautiful sunny day, and the church was decorated with lovely flowers, and the music was fantastic, and the minister's sermon was quite touching. Yet, first and foremost, it was truly blessed wedding. Not because of the beautiful flowers and the lovely music and so on, but because of the new relationship of the bride and groom, that they became husband and wife. In the same way, in today's passage, the psalmist proclaims that we are first and foremost truly blessed, not because of the earthly blessing that we have in this life, but because of our new relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we became His people and He became our Father. And this is the first point that Psalmist wants to draw attention to, is that the opening words, blessed is the one, refers to God's people and their relationship with God. God's people are truly blessed and happy in God because God promised that he will look after them, he will protect and guide and also sustain his people. So being a blessed one means being part of God's family and enjoying his protection and guidance. Yet, we have to be aware, as God's people, as the blessed ones, there are things that we should do, and there are things that we should not do. So in verse 1, the psalmist is teaching us what are the things that we should not do in our life as God's people, as the blessed ones. It shows that we should not walk, sit, or stand with the wicked. We should not compromise our godly lifestyle with those who don't follow the way of the Lord, with those who don't believe that God exists or that God is in control. Yet, we have to admit that sometimes the way of the wicked is so tempting. It is appealing because so many people around us is following that way. So we may think it is okay to compromise our lifestyle slightly. But the psalmist says, do not even start it, because there's a progression in sin. As we can see in verse 1, we can start with the walking with the wicked, and then we can move to standing with them, and then eventually sitting with them. To walk is to keep moving, but to stand is to stop and engage. And to sit means making ourselves fully at home with their lifestyle. So the warning is clear. Don't even start walking with them unless they would take over our lifestyle. And now in verse 2, the psalmist is teaching us what are the things that we should do in our life as God's people, as the blessed ones. It says, the blessed ones are those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night. Notice that the blessed one is not hindered by the law, but he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in it, though it is the law, which could be a heavy burden on his shoulders. He delights in it because it is the law of the Lord, which is holy and just and good for him. So we should meditate on the word of God, the law of the Lord, day and night, because it is good for us. The word of God does not only contain the way to live as God's people, but it also says about his promises, which comfort and encourage us in our times of hardship. And now in verse 3, the psalmist is showing us what happens to God's people as they delight in the law of the Lord. Which are the things that they should do in their life? As it says in verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Notice that the word streams is in the plural, indicating the abundant, overflowing supply of strength and grace conveyed in God's word. So as the blessed one meditates the word of God, as he delights in the law of the Lord, he is like a tree that is well watered, which draws its life-sustaining nourishment from a reservoir which will never run dry. And this applies to us. As we meditate the word of God, as we delight in the law of the Lord, we are like a tree planted by the streams of water, which will never run dry. And this is because whenever we meditate the word of God, it always reminds us the promises of God, which can sustain us in our times of suffering and in our times of trial. Yet, we must be clear that meditation on the word of God is not a recipe to prosperity of life in a worldly state. Blessings from meditation do not mean a huge house or a successful career and so on, but it means we'll be refreshed, we'll be revived, we'll be renewed, and we will never be disappointed, but we will be satisfied because of the word of God, as it reminds us the promises of God for his people like you and me. So the psalmist says that as we draw nourishment from the word of God, we are like a tree planted by the streams of water. Our life does not wither. Our life bears fruit. Our life will prosper. We will enjoy a truly spiritual life in God. 4 years ago, I had the privilege to lead a scripture class at Glazeville Primary School. It was a year three class, and they were lovely kids, and I really enjoyed my time with them. One day, when we were studying the Old Testament, we were supposed to memorize a memory verse, which was from Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. All of my class memorized the memory verse, and then I asked them to put their friend's name in front of the memory verse, and then say to each other, for example, Leon, God doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. And as I observed the class, then I asked them to say it to me. So they all shouted as loud as they can, saying, SJ, God doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. And as they shouted to me, I was deeply encouraged. Not because they said it so loud, but because it reminds me the promises of God, that God always keeps his promises for his people like me. In the same way, it doesn't matter whether it is loud or soft. It doesn't matter whether it is day or night, and it doesn't matter whether you are in a good mood or in a bad mood. As we meditate the word of God, we will be refreshed. We will be renewed. We will be revived, and we will never be disappointed, but will be satisfied, because it will remind us the promise of God, that he will always keep his promises for people like you and me. So as the psalmist suggests, let us meditate the word of God day and night. In doing so, we are like a tree planted by streams of water. Our life does not wither. Our life bears fruit in season. Our life prospers, which means we will truly enjoy a spiritually enriched life in God. The second point that the psalmist wants to draw our attention to is that the righteous are blessed because the Lord watches over their way. This is shown in verse 6, as it says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." The Lord watching over the ways of righteous means far more than just being informed about our ways. It means he has a personal, intimate relationship with them. It means he's committed to love and guide them, and also protect and love them. So the righteous are blessed not only because God knows their way, but because God is committed to love and care them until they safely arrive at their final destination. So the psalmist is assuring the righteous, he is assuring the people of God, he is assuring us that we should not worry when we are in times of trial. We should not worry when we feel like we are lost. We should not worry when we are surrounded by confusion. Because God does not only know our ways, but he's committed to love and take care of us eternally. However, this is not for the wicked. The way of the wicked is not guided and protected by the Lord. The wicked are the reverse of the righteous, both in character and status. Please see the gap between verse 3 and 4. It describes the contrast between the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Verse 3 says, the way of righteousness is like a tree whose leaves do not wither. Whereas verse 4 says, the way of the wicked is like chaff that can be blown away by wind. It's definite and straightforward. Those who follow the way of righteousness will prosper, whereas those who follow the way of wicked will perish. And the conclusion of the comparison between the righteous and the wicked is clearly stated in verse 5, as it says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Please notice that we don't know when the wicked will be judged, as it may happen in the final day of judgment, or it may happen during their life. But there is something that we know for sure. That is, they are not prepared for any judgment, whether it happens in the future or it happens in the present. They have no hope, no protection, no guidance from the Lord. So they will not stand in judgment, but will perish. However, unlike the wicked, we have hope, protection, and guidance from the Lord as we are walking in the way of the righteous. Yet, I'm wondering though, who can walk in the way of righteous without failing? Who can avoid the counsel of the wicked as we are living in a secular society? Who can meditate on the word of the Lord day and night? Certainly, we cannot fulfill this high calling. Does this mean we are going to be judged like the wicked? No, we are not. Because God provided the way to save us from judgment. He did it by sending His Son Jesus into the world. And may Jesus fulfill our calling on behalf of us. So it is Jesus who lived in perfect communion with our Heavenly Father. It is Jesus who meditated the Word of God day and night. It is Jesus who gave us His own righteousness so that we can walk in the way of righteousness without failing. So in Jesus, we become the blessed person of Psalm 1 as Jesus lived the way of life on our behalf that we could never live. So the psalmist is assuring the righteous. He's assuring the people of God. He's assuring us that we should not worry when we feel like we are lost. We should not worry when we are surrounded by confusion, because our God does not only know our ways, but He's committed to love and take care of us eternally, and He did it for sure through His Son, Jesus Christ. I have a daughter. Her name is Grace. She's in the nursery room. She's 10 weeks old today. Before she was born, which was last year in December, I made a commitment that whenever Grace wakes up in the night, I'll look after her. But as you guys can guess, it is very hard to wake up in the middle of the night. But I'm doing my best because I am committed. But one day, I woke up in the morning without being awake during the night. So I said to my wife, Sue, it is amazing that Grace didn't wake up during the night. She must have slept through the whole night. Yeah. And then my wife, Sue, said, no, she did wake up. And then I was looking after her. And then I realized that I was the one who slept the whole night, not my daughter, Grace, which means although I did my best, but I have failed to keep my commitment. However, don't worry, unlike me, our God never fails. to honor his commitment. So the psalmist is assuring us that we don't have to worry when we are in times of trial, when we are feeling like lost, when we are surrounded by confusion, because our God never fails. He is committed to take care of us and love us eternally. Remember that God kept his commitment through his son, Jesus Christ. So through Christ, God did not only provide the way, but he also enabled us to walk in the way of the righteous. So in Christ, through him, we are assured that we can become the person of the blessed person in Psalm 1. So in him, we'll never be thirsty. In him, we can become a tree planted by streams of water, which bear its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither, and whatever we do, we prosper. So let us confidently walk the way of righteousness in complete assurance, because our God is committed to love and guide us eternally. Let us continually abide in Christ, because it is only in him we are satisfied. It is only in him we are blessed and truly happy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your grace and mercy. We give you thanks for your commitment to love us and guide us eternally. We give you thanks that your commitment is perfectly fulfilled in Christ, that in him we are never thirsty. In him we are satisfied. In him we are truly blessed and happy. So Father, we pray that you would continually help us to abide in Christ, so that we may bear plenty of good fruit for your glory and people around us. And we pray that you would help us to walk in the way of the righteous with complete confidence in your love and protection. And we pray that you would help us to meditate your word day and night, so that we will live a blessed and happy life that is given to all of your people through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.